it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We had the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network for our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss, the Cajun Cannon, will be on with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, and his guest tonight will be Saints defensive line coach Bo Davis. A lot of people know Bo from his days at LSU as player and a coach. And then Monday Night Football right here on the Big 870 WWLs. The Minnesota Vikings play the Chicago Bears. Hey, and if you come to the Silver Slipper, come get you a square. You can win some cash if you get the total right and at the end of each quarter. So, hey, if you're in the area, stop on by and talk to us. But before we start talking about the game, the Saints got some really bad news. Today, Ian Rappaport was the first to report it that Julian Blackman, who I think is a really good football player and was with the Colts too, but had injuries there. He played and started 16 games last year with a torn labrum. Guess what? Tears the same labrum again in game one. And it looks as though, Bob, he may miss the entire season.
Well, bad luck, you know. If we
That's terrible
any luck.
Luck.
If we're having any luck, it's bad luck. You know, it's a problem also on the back end. Well, he graded high until he was knocked out of the game. And when you look at it, Julian Blackman looks like the person we should have targeted instead of Justin Reed. Man, Justin Reed in that one when they scored on that touchdown – he missed the tackle and they got the first down and he scored a touchdown. And then he also was in pass coverage. So, I mean, I think Justin Reed's going to be all right. But, no, missing Blackman and the lack of depth and, you know, going into the game. When you look at it, Mike, Jordan Howland, okay, what's his health status?
And so is it now?
He went Sanker, the rookie?
You turn to the rookie in Jonas Sanker, who he flashed – at times, certainly in practice, you talked about him quite a bit. Also during the preseason games. But, man, that's a big responsibility. Look, this ain't practice games no more. This is real football
in
the NFL.
And he's been aggressive, an aggressive tackler. And so I think, you know, there's a reason why the Saints drafted him in the third round this past season at the University of Virginia. So I think once he puts some skins in the wall and gets experience, I think we'll be fine with him in the future. But depending on Jordan Howland, Mike, and his health status, because, you know, he's been up and down. It's his third year, you know, with the Saints. He was a fifth-round pick, a Minnesota Gopher. We ended up getting him. But we need Justin Reed. The bottom line, in the back end, he's going to have to play great. You can't have half the DBs playing at a high level. They got to work like a glove. I think Kool-Aid McKinstry and Isaac Yadim, they'll continue to get picked on. I think Alante Taylor, considering all the practice he missed, he definitely was not the weak link on the back end. But, you know, when you look at it, the best pass coverage is the pass rush. And we started out the game right at the beginning. We had three sacks. We ended up with five total sacks. So, you know, when you're looking at the glass half full, that's something. I thought Carl Granderson and Cam Jordan, that they were outstanding, the veterans, along with DeMario Davis. So all the veterans really stepped up, you know, defensively. We'd always expect this. If DeMario Davis is not leading the teams in tackles, he's like, and, you know, linebacker, he should be 1 or 1A. But nine total tackles, two tackles for a loss. Mike, and then you look at Cam Jordan across the board, and him and Carl Granderson. Not only sacks, each had a sack and a half, but a tackle for loss, a quarterback hurry by Granderson, two passes defended. Then Cam had two tackles for loss, two quarterback hurries. and a pass defended. So Cam Jordan, you know, we always say, who's the diamond in the rough, a player coming out of nowhere? Well, no, he was just not a diamond in the rough. He was just a diamond, like the old veteran coming up. And, you know, Brian Brzee, I thought that Mike, this might be a good omen considering when it occurred. When he blocked the field goal,
just jumped right over the top of it.
And that was outstanding.
That's so athletic. No, big man. Like, man, if you walk up to Brian Brzee, you know one thing. He's a football player, the way he's pieced together.
And the reason why I thought that might be a good omen, because, you know, this is the Saints' fifth consecutive loss. You know, if you go back to when they've actually won a real NFL game, this is the Saints' fifth consecutive loss, and their last win was December the 8th. Against the New York Giants, that was 9 months ago, and guess what happened then? Remember Brian Brzee blocked the field goal, and then he blocked another one, obviously, you know, against the Cardinals. So I thought, oh, that might be a good omen, you know, for us to come away with a win. But it wasn't so much. And
Bob, the penalties.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
You can't have 13 penalties in a game. Now, the Cardinals had 9. Now, if I'm Jonathan Gannon, I ain't happy about that either. If I'm the Cardinals. But man,
well, Mike, do you know if this is a flag happy crew? Because to throw,
that's a lot.
To throw 22, 15 would seem like it's a lot.
They threw 3 more against the Saints, which would decline.
Yeah. So they were definitely a flag happy crew. And you know, when I say 9 penalties or more or 100 yards, you know, you're costing yourself a touchdown. So penalized 13 times for 89 yards, and 8 of those penalties. What happening on the offensive side of the ball. Mike, do you know that was those 13 penalties the most in an opener by the Saints since 1983?
Bum was there.
the last time this had this many penalties in an opener was 1983. And like I said, 13 the flags, but 7 on offense. 6 of the 7 was procedural penalties, such as illegal shift, false start. Well, against San Fran, you can't have that happen again. Because a lot of times, you know, if it's an effort, that's not an effort penalty. You know,
that's
like
a mental
mistake.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, maybe, like, is it holding, not holding, or a judgment call play? No, that's something that you could control that, and it's not because of your physical effort. That's a mental thing.
The 49ers got a lot better defense than what the Cardinals do. I'm going to tell you right now. Them in Seattle, they just slugged it out yesterday. Purdy came through for him late.
Brock Purdy played awesome.
He really, really did.
I wonder how hurt his Kittle, because didn't he go out with his hamstring?
With a hamstring, he pulled up, and then he was in street clothes. McCaffrey took some time off. Trent Williams went to the tent. My thing is, the 49ers season revolves around 3 guys, keeping Purdy, Trent Williams, McCaffrey healthy. They're a totally different team if they don't have one of those 3 pieces in the lineup.
Yeah, and but that was a big win for them to win at Seattle.
Tough.
Yeah, and to win. The Saints are going to know because after San Fran, we're going to be going up to Seattle and at Buffalo. That's why I think this game against the Cardinals was so important. And I thought overall, what do you think of Brock? I mean, not Brock Purdy. What do you think of Spencer Rattler? I think that when I look
at... I thought overall he did a really good job.
Yeah. I thought he commanded the offense. He looked poised. You know, he avoided the negative plays. Like, he threw that one long ball. We got it back because of a penalty on the Cardinals. Now, he's doing a shot play, trying to make it. And that's in the being the corner we were talking about from Michigan. Remember how he fell
Will
in the draft?
Will Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, he looked legit for them, Mike.
Yeah, he had a knee injury, hamstring issue. There were people that questioned how tough he was as a player. I think he all took that personal. Was okay, I'll fall in the draft. I'll show you just how good I am. Man, he came to play yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He came to play. And but looking at Rattler, avoided the negative plays overall, not throwing interception that counted. And he was sacked just once. You know, and you think, okay, if I'd have told you before the game, okay, one quarterback got sacked 5 times. The other one got sacked once.
I wouldn't have picked Kyler Murray.
You'd have said Kyler Murray for 1, right? But we sacked him 5 times, and it was Spencer Rattler only getting sacked once. So I thought, and you know what he really did good? And now you got a line right, and you got to do this quick. And Alvin Kamara said, I don't know. I think sometimes – We need to be more organized and get back in the huddle. But they practice the hurry-up offense and on the line. Because, Mike, when they were using that tempo, look at Rattler Stacks, and you get the defense on their heels, he was 13 of 16 for 115 yards when they were doing tempo. But then you can't be doing tempo. Oh, that was a good play. Hey, don't count. Illegal procedure or you know, some alignment thing, and then now it's first and 15. Or you're behind the eight ball. You're behind the sticks, and then you're not going to convert on third down and get the first downs. Mike, this is something that has continued throughout preseason and the regular season. This has to change. We can't be 30-some percent converting on third down.
That's awful.
Between that and you know why? Because that affects, like I said this yesterday, that if you don't convert on third down, what you're not doing? You're not dictating the ebb and flow of the game, but you're not winning the time of possession. So at the end of having the ball 7.5 minutes more.
Also, your defense, get back on the field.
Right. And they were most of the game now, they were 6 of 13. They were mostly at 50%. So that's where I can see that time of possession. But this is another Achilles heel, and it's been this way during training camp and the red zone efficiency. We moved the ball. Mike, even Rattler, I remember in practice, no, we're going against the Rams. Whoever practiced, or, no, he's moving the ball. Now, he had the great comeback to tie the game against Jacksonville. But that's been few and far between. No, you move the ball, gets a first down, we get the red zone bogged down. No, we got to get touchdowns, not field goals. You don't want a turnover for sure, but we got to get touchdowns instead of field goals. And we end up being 1 of 4. No, you're not scoring.
Yeah,
it seems like right now if we scored 20-some points, it'd be a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way
it's named. Talked about, this is how it's going to look offensively for this team. You're going to lose 24-17 games, 20-13 games like yesterday. That's just the way it's going to look. I thought the big difference yesterday, when they needed something, Kyler Murray, Trey McBride was always open, Marvin Harrison Jr. His deal is Kool-Aid can't cover me.
Exactly.
And so they made hay with that.
Yeah, they made hay. And McBride, that didn't surprise me. I'd said this in the pregame, Mike, how Kyler Murray trusts and leaned upon him. You know, like you're on the road, hostile environment. He's now had five-plus catches, and he ended up with 6 yesterday in 12 of the past 13 road games. So I think whoever the Cardinals put on the road again, he's going to the tight end. I mean, even though as good, Mike, as Marvin Harrison Jr. is, he's still relying on McBride.
The guy he trusts is Trey McBride. Yep. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettey, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. Then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network, and it'll be our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will join us. Bobby, along with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, his guest tonight, will be Saints defensive line coach Bo Davis.
Well, you know, the coaches show, you know, everybody wants to know. Because, you know, we get a little spoiled with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. We got the pedal to the metal. We're always trying to score. You know, okay, the Cardinals might score, but we want to score before half.
Okay, the end of that half. If you trusted your quarterback, hey, you using them timeouts.
Well, yeah, it's like 2-for-1 because you're going to, you know, you defer to the second half. You won the toss, so you get the ball to start. So Sean used to say this, and I know Kellen Moore knows this. It's like 2-for-1. So you have to figure out, okay, when they're getting in scoring range, and, okay, you don't want to give them a touchdown, but you know they could probably get points. You know, you think they make a field goal. So how much time are you going to have left to give your opportunity? So all of a sudden, basically, how you kept 3 timeouts in your pocket in the locker room versus, you know, you could utilize the timeout. And I'm not saying we go down at the end of the second quarter, like, bam, 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 go score a touchdown. But then you get back again in field goal range. And then, you know, now.
Bob, the way they hit field goals today.
Yes. Yeah, you got.
You're not really going a long distance into field goal range.
You get a couple
today.
Of first downs, and then all of a sudden you're in field goal range. That's why, we decided because the field position not to score, you know, just to end the half. No, and you could have had basically a minute. Now, I'm going to break it down more as we go on and take callers. But Mike, before we go to the first caller.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, happy birthday, Mike, to tell you. How about that? How about that?
Man, if I knew how to live this long, I'd have took better care of my body.
Wait, is this your Medicare birthday or what?
It's in that range, Bob.
Oh, in that range.
It's in that range, baby.
Yeah. I think you like me. You're in that Medicare birthday. So, So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. You get pension. Social Security.
The whole thing is, you put enough into Medicare and all and Social Security, so you want to get some.
I'll wait down the line.
Yeah, wait down the line.
But that Social Security.
You know, that's why the older you get now, I know it's not a sports topic, but the older you get, like, Social Security is going to be here. Like, you look at your grandkids, the future generations. All I know is I want it there for me because I know what I put in.
Exactly. We put in a few nickels right throughout the year.
Right. So I'm like, come on, Hebert. No, I mean, come on.
No, you're in a certain tax bracket. Man, you see it. Because we've talked about that before. Yow.
No, you're putting into it. So that's my public service announcement for today.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Make sure we at least adjust it and have Social Security for the future.
Yeah. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Hollywood and Thibodeau. Hollywood, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Mike. Happy birthday.
Hey, Hollywood.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, Bobby, I want to ask y'all a question, both of y'all. What you think about them uniforms yesterday? We like the old traditional uniforms. No. We don't like those.
Didn't like it.
Well, the only way I'd have liked it if we'd have won. And then I'd say keep wearing it. win. I said wear it again next week against the 49ers. But now since we lost, put that back.
Use it again.
Well, put it in the back of the equipment room. We didn't win. And then now because how I would have utilized this. Like, why that uniform worked? That was good mojo. Juwan Johnson. Look at that. Unbelievable.
He caught it.
At that hero catch. And, the uniform maybe had something to do with it.
Okay.
But we're putting it back in the equipment room.
I told this to Tommy Tucker this morning, and I see this at all the camps we do on the bayou. And we got so many of them that happen now. But the DB coaches now teach them, okay, you going up against guys that, like, when you were playing, they would be playing, like, outside linebacker. They so tall. But they don't play on defense no more. They just play wide receiver and tight end. So they teach the defensive back, okay, if you lose the battle initially to the receiver, he has got to control the ball to come down. Swat at it and knock it out. Buda Baker, who's all of 5'9", and I'm going to say a little change, he was standing right there. Okay, the battle got lost initially because Juwan catches it. He's coming down.
But gravity, you got to come down.
And Buda swipes at it. Bob, the way the rules are today of catch, control, they teach that to these young DBs today. So now for the receiver, what you got to do is hold on to it almost like vice grip.
Well,
when you're coming
down. And then the thing is, if it hits the ground and then it's moving, wasn't a catch. I mean, what's a catch? They make it too complicated, I think.
Yeah, but.
Whether college or the NFL.
But goes to show how Buda Baker is one of the best.
Oh, yeah.
He saw what was happening, and okay, initially, you got beat. The defensive back gets beat. But he makes the play on the ball and knocks it out.
Mike, like you're saying, make a play on the ball. In the old days, you used to be able to knock the crap out of the receiver. I mean, go
now
across
their head.
Now you can't
do it.
So now, but you can knock the crap out of the football.
Yep.
Well, it's going to have you just go and try and just remember I told you if you rush in the pass or two and the quarterback holds the ball up, you can't really hit them, but you can break their arm. You can go knock. They're holding the ball, knock the crap out of their arm and their hand. That's they're not going to call a penalty on that. Don't come near his head. No, or don't hit him hard and then land on him. Got to like tackle and kind of ease them down. But no, you can break their arm now. You won't get in trouble for that.
Okay, I see Pete do this with all the guys that he works with, Pete Jenkins. and he'll teach them almost like the setup. When you see that quarterback goes back to pass and he kicks it back, okay, years ago, I'd have told my guy, run through him. But he said, now today, no. They might call a penalty. So what we do is try to dislodge the ball.
But,
go for his arm or his hand and dislodge it. They can't call a penalty on you.
No, and it's hard. That if the quarterback doesn't have two hands on that ball, and they're going to fumble.
Not everybody's Josh Allen.
No, exactly.
Josh got some
like
mitts
this,
on
and,
him.
And then, but if you go and you target that arm, that shoulder area and all that, no, not – you know, you want to go to quarterback. Go for the ball. Because think about this. You can get, who knows, how the ball bounces. You cause a fumble, then how about if you cause a fumble, get a scoop and score? I mean, there's so many good things that can happen by getting that kind of quarterback pressure.
Think about this with the Eagles with Josh Purdy. They go after him. They didn't get
him. Brock Purdy, yeah.
And they go after his arm. They knock him out. They were down to the third string guy.
That was 2 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, in the playoffs, right? Yeah,
in the playoffs.
And then
NFC Championship game.
Yeah, and then Purdy, I mean, he wanted to play, but his arm was all jacked.
But he couldn't pull it back.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's some method to the madness here. And I know Tommy brought it up. You know, people will, you know, they'll text about, well, that's not proper technique. What?
Why?
Okay, going after the ball, it's part of the evolution of the game. Maybe 30 years ago, you were taught to go through the quarterback.
Yeah,
but if you do that today, they're going to throw a penalty on you.
Yeah, to cream the quarterback. You can't cream him no more.
No. I mean, you got just a little section you can hit him, and that's it.
Yeah, and then if you hit him like below the shoulders and above the waist, but then if you hit him really hard and then you land on him, that's roughing.
Then tweet, tweet.
Yeah, it's like, what? I didn't go for his head. I didn't go for his knees. How can that be a penalty?
And you try to create the turnover.
The NFL couldn't legislate that. If you go to knock that ball out their arm, it just hurt their arm. But then, you know, obviously for TV, everybody wants to see.
They want to see the star
quarterback. Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, and all. But I don't think they can make a rule for that, Mike.
No, here's my thing in week one. People ask me, what's the biggest take? I said, you saw such great quarterback play. We saw it Thursday night. Jalen Hurts doesn't get a lot of credit, but he was so efficient to give the Eagles that win. What more did you want Dak Prescott to do?
Prescott,
come on,
CeeDee, awesome.
You got to catch the ball.
CeeDee Lamb, like four or five catch for sure.
And
how monumental. And
Justin Herbert, Friday night.
Yep.
He outdueled the man.
Beating Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs.
And Bob,
you know who didn't play well? The whole preseason, they're ready to run him out of town. He was awesome. Justin Fields. They lost to the Steelers. But Justin Fields, that was his best game as an NFL pro.
And he's going up against Aaron Rodgers.
Mike, see, and they were like, oh, the Jets. No. You know who let down the Jets? Was Aaron Glenn's defense. And he's in charge of the defense. You know, the head coach being known for the
Saints. You'd have never guessed that would have been an over game.
Right,
would have been over. The crazy thing is, you watched Lamar Jackson last night. He was playing MVP, and bang, I know they don't have it no more, telephone booth. Here comes Josh Allen.
Yep,
you're down
about
15 points with 4 minutes left,
and
you end up winning?
But I look at that as we go to the break. I look at that Bills-Ravens game, even though the Ravens lost, I'm more optimistic. With the Ravens and the Bills, because I think Josh Allen, he has to play like Superman, and they're not going to win. How about McDermott? Isn't he a defensive coach? The Bills' defense sucks.
Man, listen, they were playing two-hand touch with Derrick Henry.
And then,
Derrick was running through the hole, and it was like a guy would, like, put an arm or a hand on him, and he was through. Man, nobody wanted to get in front of him.
But at the end, they had that fumble.
He had the fumble at the end.
Yep.
And so everybody forgets about
sort of
what
all
he did.
All the domination before that.
Thanks so much for the call, Hollywood. We appreciate it. We come back, we'll have on with us Long Showman right after this break here on the Big 878 WWL.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. Come on by, get your square for the Monday night football game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. You can, if you're here, you can watch it here. If you're driving, hey, keep your dial tuned into the Big 870. WWL will have it on at 7:30. Let's go back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Longshoreman. Longshoreman, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby and Mike, how y'all doing, fellas?
All right, man. What's
all right,
happening?
Longshoreman, what's up?
Hey, before I get to the game, a few things that frustrate me about that game and the Saints a little bit. I also want to say happy birthday to Mike.
Thank you, bro.
Happy birthday, my brother. Hey, Mike, does that make me, you, and Bobby all eligible for free coffee at McDonald's now?
I think so. I think it does. I think we get a lot of senior discounts.
Bobby been flipping that card. He been flipping that card for a couple of weeks, long show.
But you know, they tell you get a senior discount, but you still got to leave a tip. So I mean,
so that goes as discount.
Yeah, so you don't really have a discount. I don't know.
I think Bob, I don't know. From what I heard, Bobby's kind of frugal. Bobby, you tip him, huh? You tip him at McDonald's?
No, I don't know. No, at a restaurant, I'm one of those 20% to 25% people.
Nah, hey, Bobby, there ain't nothing wrong with being frugal, and nothing wrong with tipping either, brother.
He's from the Bayou. Everybody's like that to a certain extent. Frugal. Yeah. They don't want to say they cheap, but they frugal.
Happy birthday to you, Mike.
Thank you, brother.
I hope you have a great day, great night. I might try to slide over there and raise a toast to you in a little while.
All right, baby.
Look, man, look, three of the things. One of the things that stands out the most to me is the penalties. They've got to cut down on the penalties. And then I felt like I know we got behind and down by two scores in the fourth quarter. You got to kind of start slinging the ball a little bit. But it just kind of was frustrating that they felt like they abandoned the run a little bit too soon. But maybe that's just my opinion. And then the third thing is I want to talk about what y'all's opinion on that clock management with three timeouts in your back pocket. Why do you save them if you're not going to use them right before the half with 23 seconds? You run the ball up the middle and just kind of just waste the time. I didn't get that at all, Bobby and Mike. I don't understand that.
Trust his quarterback.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Now, the Saints aren't going to.
They're not going to say that.
They're not going to.
But we
that.
Can.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't trust Spencer.
That if you had a veteran like a Drew Brees, who we've seen too many times those scenarios, and I think you might say, well, that was Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Well, if Kellen Moore was with Drew Brees, he would do the same thing as Sean Payton, I think. So, but he won't say that. He's not going to throw Spencer under the bus, and because you got to keep the team together. And
he wouldn't have done that last year with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
When he was in L.A. with the Chargers, he wouldn't have done that with Justin Herbert. He wouldn't have done it in Dallas with Dak.
Well, the thing is, you might, the quarterback gets too much of the glory to blame. You know how that goes. But Spencer Rattler is not the reason why we lost to the Cardinals.
Nope. Can't put it on him.
No. He made enough plays. I'm not saying he was like all world, but he was not a liability. He was like, no, he did his job. And now, you kind of feel for him, and you got to have the supporting cast. Guys making plays. He just wants to win a game. He's like 0-7 now. Just trying to win a game. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
The next 3 weeks are difficult.
Well, we're not favored. We weren't favored against the Cardinals.
No.
But that'll be interesting to see the point spread.
I think it's 6.5 already.
Same thing as the Cardinals, 6.5.
Yeah. But I think there's some uncertainty because of the amount of injuries the 49ers
have. The 49ers
had.
Are still snake bit, same like from last year, dealing with injuries.
Got an older team, Bob, I'm going to tell you, is just like us. As we get older, something that we would maybe pull or get hurt, maybe, in a couple hours or a day or so, we good. Now, you like the 49ers? Man, it don't heal overnight. It don't heal in 2 days or a week. It takes a while longer. They have a really older football team.
Yeah,
across the board.
And who does not have an old football team? And there's 2 years in a row. They're the youngest team, and they kicked the Lions behind the Packers. The Green Bay Packers. Mike, that was my Packers-Ravens Super Bowl with the Ravens winning. I'm still not off that Ravens bandwagon.
I can't believe we both picked the same damn teams.
Oh, is that who you picked?
Yeah.
Packers
and Ravens.
Yeah, because to me, it depends on the quarterback. If he plays,
Jordan Love plays.
Yes,
really,
that's
really
what I'm saying.
Well,
if Jordan Love plays like that, watch out for the Packers because I think they got the team.
Okay, you can say next man up. The Lions are a great example of next man up. You think that that offensive coordinator is as good as Ben Johnson? And, man, listen, no. I'm a big Kelvin Shepard guy. I saw him at LSU, covered him here, went on to the NFL.
I mean, I know him from
Aaron Glenn, yeah, he was in high school in Georgia.
With T-Bob and all. Yeah, yeah.
And losing that middle of your offensive line, your center guards, you saw exactly where the Packers were coming through.
You know, now that you bring up the centers, we're going to break.
Braylon Moore.
Okay, what about the center for LSU?
Braylon Moore.
Versus Florida, Mike. I don't know.
I'll put it to you this way. It's 9.5-point spread. I know where I'm going.
Oh, you're going to go with Florida in the points?
Well, yeah.
Because the center,
okay,
I know.
Kelly's one of these guys. Well, we'll see as it gets closer to – come on. He's got a high ankle sprain. We talk about
that's
that.
Like a broke leg.
It's like a broken ankle.
Yeah.
Well, when you have that.
If it's not just an ankle, a high ankle sprain, that's 4 to 6 weeks.
That's a couple of weeks for sure.
Depending the severity. But usually a high ankle sprain, it's like a broken ankle. And it's not just a regular ankle sprain. But so, Mike, then you would think maybe hopefully for Ole Miss?
You would hope, but then, I'm not sure. I'm no doctor with it. I do know one thing. A high ankle sprain, that's a 3 to 5 week injury when you get that. So, and that's at the minimum we're talking about. That's not on the high end.
So how do you feel? I don't feel as, boy, man, Clemson was probably the best team LSU was going to play. Troy was beating them 16-0. I'm watching that.
And then woke up.
And then I was like, what the?
And then they score.
Score.
Somebody woke them up a little bit, but Bob, I'm telling you, lose your center. And Tre'Davious Green, how long he's going to be out with the knee injury.
The big tight end.
Yeah, man, because there's not another guy 6'7.5" on that football team that can catch passes. That's all I know. He's a mismatch every time he's on the field. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk and Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We had the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. I want to tell everybody again, at 6:30 tonight, we'll go to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, Saints Head Coach Kellen Moore, and his guest Bo Davis. More Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.